you know, for myself, if I get a free program for my computer, I won't feel guilty.
Yeah.
And even if I go out and ask for it, you know, I say, can I copy that? I won't feel guilty. I really won't. It's just a set of instructions. I used to program a little bit, and those guys have so much fun writing those programs. You know,
people generally do what they love to do.
Yeah, right. And that's pretty much the end of the truthful part of the process. The rest of it is all marketing. And the marketplace is, you know, maybe I think I live in Tangiers, you know. Maybe I think the marketplace is, you get what you can get. Seems to be that way. You know, as long as I'm not hurting another person directly,
right.
You know, or even indirectly. But just throwing my money out there, he may never see a penny of it. He may have sold the rights outright, you know.
It certainly happens in music.
Happens, yes. Yeah. You know, I mean, it happens all over the place.
Well, I wish I was the person whose voice they used in the telephone when it tells you the number has been changed and that I had to copyright and get some royalties. Like that lady, you know, I can hear the number you have reached.
They got a different woman, didn't they?
Huh?
Didn't they get a different woman when she tried to do that?
I don't know if they
hired another voice.
I didn't hear any follow-up, but...
That's what I thought that they did anyway.
Yeah. Huh. They certainly used her a lot. But, I mean, they only used, what, 5 seconds total or something? You know,
probably took her a long time to say every possible combination.
Oh, but the computer does that. All she has to do is say each digit. And the computer,
that's all it is.
Yeah, it's like a series of samples.
It sorts them.
Right, yeah. So it's probably the total actual speaking that they use is pretty short. It would be much more pleasant if they had done all the combination stuff. You know, call it up and there's something that actually says your number in total.
Yeah, or because it recognizes your phone number, it automatically goes in the computer, finds that, and names
sampled.
The name. Thank you, Mr. Smith, for calling Pacific Bell.
Yeah, right. You
know. I am your personal computer representative.
That'd be great.
Push 1 if you wish to know my phone number. Push 2 if you wish to have dinner with me. Push 3 if you want to...
artificial intelligence personality that you call
it. Yes. If you do not like this personality, push 0, and a new personality will be provided for you at no extra charge. You are allowed up to 5 personalities in 1 phone call. Well, the networking of computers is getting as such that, you know, almost anything's possible.
And yeah, that's why
it's just matrixing and just constantly building and building upon building upon building these complexities and building controllers for them and building on top of those.
And you're building on the thoughts of your predecessors, but your predecessors in this case can be like last year. You know, it's like it's moving so fast.
So fast.
It's like it's a reflection of the brain. And it's communication like books, but it's much quicker. And it's like if you can think of something and define it, you can make it happen. If it's just about information. I mean, you can't.
If it's just about information, that's very true.
You can't conjure something up, like a car out of nothing. But
well, with the superconductors, that's going to make it, you know, so economical for everybody to have all the electronic this and that they want because there'll be so little loss of electricity.
Yeah.
It'll be so small that we'll have enormous amount. We should have an enormous supply of it.
Yeah, like every light switch will have its own computer or something. You know, basically, because it'll be cheap enough to cheap as a switch these days.
It won't cost anything. You know? And when they go into outer space and start growing those silicon chips without any flaws, they'll be able to grow circuitry that is so complicated that that gravity destroys it, so they'll be able to they'll be able to get these fantastic circuits, like say for a whole television set, just on one chip, and then it'll harden out there, and they'll bring it back. The whole thing is so sensational.
That'll be expensive at first.
God,
growing them in space, but that's great.
It'll be worth it.
This technology, out of most of anything in the past, it's becoming like we're shaping our destiny, ourselves, with this technology more than we have with any other in the past, it seems. just like whatever we think it, we can make it. But there's one technology that's going to overtake that, and that's DNA research, which is like a total scam at this point still. They're just like bombarding organisms with radiation to see what comes up. You know, we have very little control over it. But once we do, we'll be able to program biology as well.
Well, that's a pretty frightening concept.
It is frightening, but...
We can't even control our freeways.
I know.
You know, I mean,
but the thing is, any technology that comes up, it gets used. Once it's out there in the open,
I hope they use fractals. Are you familiar with fractals?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I hope they use a lot of fractals. Because
in biology research?
The connection between mathematics and biology can be found more easily with fractals than it can with regular mathematics.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm looking for the connection between science and religion and biology, as it were, the living, spiritual,
the ancient science. It was just a branch of knowledge, which included
alchemy.
All knowledge, basically.
Alchemy, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Whatever gets the job done.
The gestalt, the totality, is taken into account, as opposed to the observer. You know, I remember back in the psychedelic days, there was this poster of the scientists. I've always been on a kind of a crusade for scientific responsibility, right? And scientists are taking such control over the world these days with their, you know, not the scientists, but what they've invented and the way it's marketed and the way we develop needs for it. And I remember this cartoon I saw of it was called The Scientist, and it had this wonderful stone statue about 20 stories tall of a naked man and a naked woman intertwined with each other, hugging each other full frontal and their arms wrapped around each other. And they looked like they were so intertwined, they spiraled down and they're a statue, right, made out of stone. And the whole base of the statue is crumbling, right? And it's just like rubble, like from just below the knees down was this kind of rubble, but the rest of it was all real clear. Some of it was chipped off, you know, it was old, but... And down at the bottom of this rubble was this little man who was a scientist, and he had this big magnifying glass, and he was looking at the rubble, looking with his head down, not looking up at the statue and seeing the love and the symbol there, but looking down at the crumbs, you know, at the rubble at the bottom with his magnifying glass. And to me, that always symbolized kind of rather clearly the limitations of the scientific method. If it doesn't take into account,
well,
the whole human experience, and including the unbelievable parts of it, the parts that are just legend and myth and alluded
theories.
To, and the psychedelic experiences and the subjective, you know, and insanity and what I mean,
well,
you know, they've got to take into account.
But you
the
can't,
East with all its fantastic.
But you can't look at the stars with a microscope. And science is a microscope. Each scientist has their field of expertise, and if they're going to stretch out far enough into the unknown where they can find something new, they have to do it in a straight line. They can't do
in
all directions at once, because then you run into things that we already know.
But so they're doing it with mathematics, right?
Problem is communication between the branches of science, I think.
That's true.
Who's going to be able to hold all that knowledge and make the connections?
Well, the philosophers and the spiritual leaders, and I mean, because the stuff can be understood, the goals cutting edge can be understood intellectually.
But those people can't tell you the details. They know the whole structure, but see, it's like both sides. You have to have somebody looking at the details.
You got to have a leader, and you got to have a bunch of workers.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to have somebody who isn't necessarily inclined to deal with the details that much. Who's guiding those who are willing to sit there and make all
that? Have a guider.
Yeah, there's no leader. There's no focus.
That's right.
I think that one of the reasons that there's been no focus is because everybody accepted the scientific method as the best tool that we have, and was kind of letting the scientific method be the leader. Continue inventorying, cataloging, experimenting. You know, documenting, whatever, and instead of coming at it from another direction, trying to find ways to to, like with Einstein, for example, you know, it seemed to me he was trying to, he was experimenting with new ways of doing things, you know.
While thinking about things.
And thinking about things, and he was trying to, I think he was ultimately trying to discover the speed of his own thought, you know. I mean, he was like really off into wonderful abstract notions that were all based in a peaceful world, you know, that couldn't exist unless he was secure that we had a peaceful world, or that, that peace was part of what he was about. And so much of today's technology is soulless and has nothing to do with peace. It has to do with just generally chewing up, you know, consumerism, basically, and chewing up the human experience and turning it into some kind of consumer need.
Did you ever get into Tesla?
Just ever so peripherally.
He had a lot of real wacky ideas on big levels. He wanted a world power system that you could tap into the air, basically, and get power anywhere on Earth. And
that's what the Tesla coil was about?
Yeah, but the problem was that it interfered with, matter. I mean, it was not a clean broadcast system. Like, everything in the room, if you had a Tesla coil in the middle of the room, all the metal objects would be receiving it constantly. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really very efficient either, because you'd have to have an immense amount of power being broadcast so that a few points could receive, you know, their share of it.
Now, what about if they, with the superconductor, will that change all that?
I don't know. He was dealing with it being basically energy being sent through the air, you know, like light.
Like, yeah, like tapping right into just the energy of the Earth or something.
Right? Yeah, which doesn't really require a conductor. You know, I mean, light will go through a vacuum. So, I think he was, I mean, he basically invented the radio and stuff like that, you know.
Pretty confusing to me, but yeah, those guys are the guys I think that are the heroes, or that are the unsung heroes.
Yeah,
you know, the business, and I mean, it's a cliche, but business has always taken these works and manipulated them either to their benefit or to our benefit or to our detriment or something based on economic. What the obvious or the more immediate economic.
Right. It's like, well, gee, yeah, I know how we can make money with this. Just do it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I like about fractals, is because with these new mathematical formulas, even though, you know, because it's mathematical and it has to work, I guess, with numbers in it some way, it opens a door into what appears to be all the substance that's underneath the obvious. You know, with if regular math is the obvious, these fractals seem to represent everything that numbers aren't. And
well, that's something that numbers aren't. I don't think it's everything.
Not everything, because there are. But the first window into that.
Yeah. Well, every theory is just it's a window, and it's also like a model of reality, and it's really not reality. And like a fractal can get really close to describing growth patterns, like a plant or something.
Yes, right.
But it's still not the totality of a plant.
No, it isn't by any stretch. But for mathematics or for science, it's an opportunity for them to get closer to the chaos or the order of chaos that exists as subtext to our life, to our experience on this planet. And when we're going to blow up the first atomic bomb, and we don't bother to ask the American people or the people of the world if we mind, if there's a chance, you know, because they didn't know for sure whether it would destroy the universe or not.
I know. And it might have started a chain reaction that just blew up the
whole
Earth.
And it might very well still have started that chain reaction, and that it's all happening in fractal country, and it has, and it's manifesting itself in disharmony. In the deterioration of the planet. We're all worried about the ozone. We're all worried about the cancers everywhere.
So you're saying it might have done the same bad thing, but in
it's just
a more roundabout way.
Except that the universe is such a complex phenomenon, that it's so deep. It's for the fabric that we are witnessing through science and through any known ability to understand. Mm. It's just a thin shell from how deep this phantasmagorical experience goes, and that when they did that, it's possible that they started a chain reaction at such a subatomic level, a subatomic level, that it'll take a while before it really, you know, goes, you know, and just rips it apart. It might take 500 years or 1,000 years or 100 years, or maybe in 50 years, or it might never happen. But it's, to me, that was scientific irresponsibility. And without the knowledge of what fractals symbolize at this point, to me, they could make that decision easier. And with the scientific...
Fractals could have made the decision easier.
No. Without the knowledge of fractals, the decision was made easier. If fractals were known at that time, there might have been a little more caution because there's this window.
Don't imply any particular morals.
Well, they don't imply morals, but they do imply that there's more than the obvious going on.
Well, all math does that.
Not to me.
There's just another system, that's all. Just another model.
It's a model into the fourth dimension as opposed to the third dimension.
Einstein's theory is a model into the fourth dimension, and it's time. But fractal can be applied to many dimensions, any number of dimensions. It's basically taking something and dividing it up randomly or with some system. It's like nested values, basically. Inside a gallon you have four quarts, inside a quart, inside a quart you have a certain amount of cups, and then, et cetera, et cetera.
It's not squared, and it's not as predictable as that. I mean, it's not predictable at all, really. It's a found phenomenon.
Well, it's not predictable if you apply random values to the subdivisions.
The subdivisions have to be random. It has to have randomness to it. The order, I don't think, is understood yet. I mean, I might be wrong, but that's my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
that's why they're calling it the mathematics of chaos.
Oh, that's a different thing. That's not fractals.
Yeah, it's fractal. It includes
fractals can be used to describe chaos.
It includes other. Yes, it can. And it includes
the
other
fractals are separate. Too. Yeah, I mean, and chaos is separate. They overlap. Chaos is
for the scientist,
analysis of noise.
For the scientist has never had a tool where he had that overlap, you see. Mm-hmm. See, that's the point that I'm trying to get at, is that because the scientific method now has that tool of overlap, it's giving them something that they never had before. Mm-hmm. And that is an opportunity to meet spirituality.
Yeah, well, there's opportunities to meet spirituality 24 hours a day wherever you go, just by being alive. If they don't want to see it, they're not going to see it in fractals.
Well, yeah, a lot of people will. A lot of people will. It'll dawn on them because they follow the scientific impulse, and fractals may be the very thing that boggles them out enough where they have to do some serious questioning about things, is my theory.
Yeah, you know? Maybe. They'll probably find it in something if their fractals weren't there. I think it's like all the ideas that we have throughout the ages and the various... They're just sort of echoes of the past, and they come under different names and things. Just like... the latest power now is corporations, right? Before that it was like governments, before that it was principalities, before that it was gangs, you know.
Tribes.
And gangs are coming back now, you know. But,
God, are they ever. It's unbelievable.
And knowledge and the pursuit of spirituality has taken on many forms. And if a person wants to find it in something they believe in, and they believe in science, they'll find it in science.
Well, it's very true, but I mean, I think that people who find spirituality in science as their sole spiritual source are people that are fucking up the planet. You know, I don't think science is. I don't think science can be God. I've been watching 2001 lately. You know, I mean, that's not what it's all about, but that's a major theme in it. You know, that the race between the human and the techno, mm-hmm. and its technological manifestation of. Well, you know, I think that...
Are we going to be part of it, or are we going to make it?
Is it going to do us, or are we going to do it? You know, is our creation... It's like the Frankenstein myth. Is our creation going to destroy us, or are we going to continue?
Look it
on TV. Yeah, I just put it
Ron
on.
LeBret. Oh, okay.
I just put it on.
Yeah. I see. I thought they were showing that on the ads for some reason. A little too hip for TV.
A little too hip, yeah.
So they're color cycling right now. Is it Zoom later? I guess.
Yeah, I've got Zooms on here too.
Where did you tape it from?
This one's Fractal Fantasy, which is for sale. And the other one is Fractal Zooms, which I don't think is available. And then I've got a test film from IBM Laboratories of taking a Julia set into the fourth dimension.
Hmm.
Which is, and then they zoom through it. It's pretty fantastic looking.